Hey, Paul, we just finished the Power Up show, and as always, listener Brad commented on how awesome I was and how you weren't awesome, so...
He was silent on the matter.
What, your awesomeness?
No. Anyway, we had another packed show tonight. So we had, as always, we had Gillian, our LinkedIn ninja, and Gillian is just entertaining, going into 10 top tips in 10 days, and she had a great one on LinkedIn today, talking about one of her employees,
yeah,
Herbert.
Yeah, and then we had your mate Matthew Horton. Horton said who on the phone?
Yes, we had Matthew Horton from Found You, and this is a follow-up to the conversation we had with Sean Melbourne from Source Legal last week, talking about, with Sean, we talked about some of the issues of underpayment following some high-profile stories in the press, which, to be honest, high-profile or low-profile, they keep coming. I keep seeing on my LinkedIn feed regularly, and this is around using technology that isn't going to cost a small fortune. In fact, from what Matthew was saying today, it doesn't cost very much at all. To actually keep compliant and make sure that people are compliant with the various awards, and it's complicated, and the time saving of it sounds fantastic. So I think that's something I listen to.
Also, it's also your last Power Up show, because I think I fired you, and I don't have you back.
I think you fired me, although I've got this feeling that basically, although I won't be here next week, I've got this feeling you might come back begging to me after that to join you in 2 weeks'
Unlikely. So next week we have a special sales edition of the show with David McCauley, and we have a special guest on the show, the CEO and founder of Shine Drinks, Nootropic Drinks, and his story is just amazing and phenomenal. Don't want to give away too much, so other than that, it's off to the podcast.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specializing in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insightintelligence.com.au.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Power Up Show. You're with Mia and Paul, a croaky Mia, because I've been yelling at Paul all week, so this is the consequences to my croaky voice.
Ah, good evening, Mia. Good evening, everybody. I'm as fit as a fiddle, so I'm going to enjoy tonight whilst Mia's feeling a little bit under the weather. And welcome to the show, everybody. Great to have you with us again, Seam.
As always, you can send through text messages. Last week, we were inundated with text messages. The text line is 0480-028-100. But until then, Paul, what's on the show for today?
Yeah, so on the show tonight, first of all, we'll be hearing, as always, from our LinkedIn ninja, Gillian. And Gillian, I noticed this been as she's always active on LinkedIn, isn't she? She wouldn't have her name, but she might actually bring a little special guest tonight, one of her employees.
I know, we should actually ask her for an interview with, is it Herbert?
Herbert. Yes,
yeah,
right.
We might get a special guest star, Herbert, on the line.
Yeah, a bit of that coming up anyway. And then a second part, last week we talked about some of that with Sean Melbourne from Source League, and we talked about some of the challenges that has faced some businesses have got themselves in a bit of trouble, and some higher profile ones of not paying their employees correctly as per awards. And one of the things when Sean finished last week, he talked about the fact that there are some technology solutions out there that can actually make it a lot easier for businesses as well. And on that note, we have got somebody that's an expert in the area, Matthew Horton from Found You, that will be joining us. He is currently very busy at the moment doing something, so he'll be joining us at some point, hopefully around about 6:30. We might be a bit flexible. We're nothing but flexible on Power Up, though, are we, Mia?
I am nothing but flexible as a steel rod. I'm on top of that.
And before the end of the show, we should be talking to Raj from The Bollywood Show. You're listening to Alive 90.5. This is the Power Up Show with Mia and Paul.
And you're back with the Power Up Show on Alive 90.5. And we have the gorgeous Gillian on the phone with us. How are you, Gillian?
I am good. Always good.
Awesome.
Good evening, Gillian. Now, I was just wondering this evening, are you going to bring one of your guest employees, your head of wellbeing, going to be on the show with us tonight?
I actually locked him out of the door.
We better tell the story, Brian, really.
Walking past.
Well, it's a good thing we've got an HR person on that call, because I don't think we're allowed to lock our employees outside like that.
Yeah, but that's why I said in case he barks.
Gillian, when we left you last week, we spoke a little bit about how do we understand if somebody is active on LinkedIn. And we spoke about going through that process.
Yes. Okay. So there's sort of two ways to tackle it to see if somebody's actually active. So it depends on if you only have LinkedIn.com or the premium version, or if you have Sales Navigator. So if you have the Sales Navigator platform, it's super, super easy because that's actually a click functionality in there. So what you do is you basically filter your connections by all your first connections in one, and then there's a box that you click on that says has posted in the last 30 days. And so, you know, you sort of maybe reduce it by a half or maybe more straight away to get the people that have been active in the last 30 days.
That's interesting.
How
often should people be active on LinkedIn to be viewed as really active people? Sorry.
Well, look, if they've only come in the last 30 days and liked a couple of posts and commented on a couple of things to do with strategic connections, that's still being active. I had a woman that came through my 12-week program that was out in your area, actually. She's out in the Hills District. And she was so uncertain about posting and had this real perfectionism about her and getting it right that for the entire 12 weeks, no matter how much I encouraged her, she didn't actually do an original post. But she was very active with her network of liking and commenting and connecting with people and all that sort of thing only. And she actually was, you know, bringing in leads just doing that.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's still active even if you don't actually start typing a post or uploading a video at all.
So the definition of active then in LinkedIn is just making sure that there's some kind of engagement?
Yeah, it's kind of the pure definition of active. It's something is better than nothing.
I realised actually through that comment that actually I passed the test. I would be active on LinkedIn.
Mm.
I do just about enough.
You do just about enough. The bare minimum?
That's right. Probably just
a
bare minimum.
Like HSC as well.
Gillian, we've got a question that's come through on the text line.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, be prepared for this. It went on fire last week, Gillian. So you're pretty going to find this is going to be your life now for the next few years.
Oh, okay.
The question is, what is 10 tips in 10 days? That's it.
Yeah, okay. So there are sometimes there's trending campaigns that go around LinkedIn, and the 10 tips in 10 days was a campaign that was run last year, and there was four people in America, sorry, I think one of them's Canadian, that started this campaign together. They were people that came together on LinkedIn. They've got very big following between the four of them, and they said, you know, people should be getting out there and giving tips. And if we did it all together in the same month, then there'd be this, you know, 10 tips in 10 days hashtag trending all over LinkedIn. And there was a couple of hundred people that joined it last year. I followed it. I was really busy at the time and just went, I can't commit to doing 10 days in a row. There's no way. Because it's very much the campaign's mostly run for video. And, so you just pick whatever topic you want to pick and give out 10 tips literally in 10 days of whatever your topic is.
And do you need to run it? Because I know I've seen this being communicated from you. Is this something you need to run through at the same 10 days as everybody else, or is it spread out in the month?
It's supposed to be in 10 days, so it's supposed to be 10 days in a row. I've interpreted that as weekdays. So I started my one today because, as I said, I didn't join it last year, but when it came around again, I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to actually do something about this, because there was some outcomes of people I know and a couple of clients I know that I recommended they do that. And they, picked up a few podcast interviews and, you know, a article done on them in newspapers and stuff like that through that campaign. But it's sort of gathering the momentum and tapping into, you know, the global network that are actually taking part. And I think it's going to be much bigger this year because, as I said, there was a couple of hundred that did it last year. But I was following it but didn't participate. So there's probably quite a few that will participate this year and get on board. So there might be maybe 1,000 people.
So does that mean I can start tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Oh, and Mia's on a planet. See, Mia might be losing her voice, but she's not losing her mind.
I'm
enjoying this. I'm going to take over in a minute because sooner or later I can see Mia's voice is just going to go.
So I you know, doing 10 tips in a row just on LinkedIn could be a little boring. So I start the one today. We're talking about, you know, having a companion in your home office. Which my staff love as well. And then my last 10, my 10th tip will be another personal one as well. So I sort of mixed it up a little bit.
Well, I'm going to think about it and start it tomorrow. And Max from Kellyville Ridge, I hope that answered your question. 10 tips in 10 days.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yep, that was the only one that came through
today.
You
can bet your boots there'll be more next week, though, Gillian.
Okay, cool. So let me just run very quickly through if you're on LinkedIn.com regarding finding if people are active.
Yes.
So unfortunately, that's a manual process, and you need to go onto somebody's profile and look for the box that says articles and activity, and right under that will be a number, which is their follower number. And then you can see either their last 4 engagements that they've done around LinkedIn, or if they've ever written an article, that will be on the left, and there'll be the last 3 engagements that they've done on LinkedIn on the right. So that's the way to tell. And that is there for 90 days at a time. So if that box isn't there at all, who's the profile that you're looking at has not been doing anything on LinkedIn that is visible for 90 days.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
So they may have been messaging people, they may have been connecting, they may have been using the voicemail system and even video within messaging and all that sort of stuff. But if they haven't engaged with anybody publicly or posted, there's no data in there and that section disappears.
Have a naughty little boy in the corner.
Yes, so I've just put his hand up. It's my way of interrupting me. So did you say a voicemail system within LinkedIn?
Sorry?
Did you just say there was a voicemail system within LinkedIn, Julian?
I did. Let's cover that next week.
Let's cover that next week.
Because that was even a new one to Mia as well. I thought it was much better if I say it, because it's much better if I appear ignorant on LinkedIn than Mia, just in case actually it's saying you've actually taught Mia and she didn't actually listen.
Okay.
I'll put good money on that next week. Julian, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And we will be in touch next week. And until then.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you. As always, Jean, great to talk to you. You're listening to The Power Up Show with Mia and Paul on Alive 90.5.
We're back with The Power Up Show with Mia and Paul. It is currently 6:35 on the 5th of September, this beautiful spring day. And as always, the text number 0480028100. And we have Matthew Horton on the phone call today. And before I bring Matthew to the call, Paul, it's actually, you've organised for him to come in as a second part to the series last week where we had what could only be called an SMS text line going absolutely crazy from employers who had made a few tiny little mistakes in payroll. Whether it was intentional or not, I got the impression that it was more of a mistake.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was all unintentional, but it was a few oops moments that came through. So Sean Melbourne was with us last week from Source Legal.
And he led us into a direction to say that this shouldn't be happening. There are payroll solutions out there.
That's correct.
Mitigate the risk. And with that, let's say hello to Matthew.
Yeah, our expert. Good evening, Matthew. How are you? Thank you for joining us. I know you've got a tight schedule at the moment, so I really appreciate you making the time to speak to us this evening.
Thank you, Paul and Mia. Lovely to speak to you too. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very, very welcome. Welcome indeed. So I guess probably, probably the first thing I say, from your experience, Matthew, I guess most employers, we always assume are trying to do the right sort of thing, aren't they? And I think the thing is, at the end of the day, it's making sure, I guess, they've got a sort of systems in place to help them do that. So maybe you can talk a little bit about your experience there.
Yes, I think so, Paul. I mean, obviously, we would like to think that most employers are doing the right thing. I'm sure there's exceptions to the rules, and we can always read about them in any national
on the front
newspaper.
Page.
But really, I think, Mayor, you hit the nail on the head then. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen to Sean last week, but intentional versus unintentional.
Yep.
So very easy to make unintentional errors in the Australian IR law environment. Our team found you has probably looked at 10 to 15 English-speaking countries and their labour laws, etc. And I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, Australia has the most complicated system.
I'm a bit flabbergasted that you said that. Is this because we're just trying to regulate so many things within the country? I suppose it's not really a question for you, but
And I was about to say that, Mia, in response. That's not a question for me to answer. The bottom line is, it is what it is.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
There are things like leave loading that, if you actually want to drill down into the history of that, that goes all the way back to a very strong union that was looking after the shearers when they came in from the farms. They're complicated things.
Yep.
Overtime's complicated things. You know, we're forever and always respectful that the law is the law. The question is, how do you comply with the law?
Absolutely right.
How do you make sure that you're not, whether intentionally or otherwise, breaching that law?
So just to, I think one of the things I think just to give you a bit of a I guess just a little briefing what Sean talked about last week is for, you know, maybe employers have got one or two people, there's some online tools that are available on Fair Work, but I guess the thing is, Matthew, obviously there's a time when it becomes more complicated in terms of you know, the more employees that that a business the employees, the harder it is to keep up, to make sure people are being paid correctly. And I guess it's where technology can come in, isn't it, to try and help soothe some of that pain.
Yeah, I think that once people go onto awards or they're on EBAs and you're talking about casual employees or shift workers, you're talking about shifts that might cost midnight, you could be talking about a whole bunch of allowances that have to be paid under the award. You're starting to put together quite a complicated set of facts that someone has to put their put their head through. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can't do it. That's sort of why we built a bunch of algorithms that do it for you, because I'm flabbergasted that anyone can really do it. Yeah. We haven't even mentioned working visa hours, for example, as well.
Yes, indeed. No, that's another level of complication altogether, doesn't it, really, when you've got things like that involved as well. But you're absolutely right. It's an absolute minefield, and you know, I think it's it's always good to see that there are people out there trying to, you know, help simplify it by using effective technology and I guess programming things that can keep people compliant.
I think you're right, Paul. I mean, if you and I saw a minefield in front of us, we'd probably walk around it.
Yes.
This is a minefield that employers have to traverse.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is give them some mine detectors, to continue your analogy, and help them sort of get through it.
Matthew, before that, we've actually got a text that's come through from Mick, and he said, your guest is talking about a much more complicated payroll issue. Should I be worried that I could be making a mistake with my staff?
Oh, look, to be honest, Mick, don't be worried. I'm sure you're doing the right thing. Look at, as Paul said before, the first place to go to would be to look at Fair Work Australia and see what you're doing, see if that's correct. And there's plenty of other places, including industry groups, you can go to for advice. There is a sense of being worried, but you know, my view of this thing is, people will make mistakes. People should be forgiven for mistakes that are not intentional. On the other side of the ledger, Mia, do something systemically, do something intentionally, take millions of dollars from some of the most vulnerable people in Australia, and you won't hear me speaking so sympathetically.
And there, of course, there's been some high-profile cases, and even sometimes, you know, I was sharing a story I read this week earlier on with Matthew as well, or in the week as well. Even some cases that come up where the numbers involved, you know, isn't any household names, but the numbers involved are quite small. But as one of the things that Sean was talking about last week as well was the reputational damage from doing the wrong thing as well. That's a big issue.
And unfortunately, I mean, in this day and age of social media and the, you know, how easily news spreads, unfortunately that becomes that's something that goes with it. And it may well be to your listener Mick, it may well be inadvertent, and that's just so disappointing that's what you have to traverse. But I wouldn't be worried, Mick. That's the answer to this.
We have another text coming from, I think, arguably my favourite listener today. That's Brad. I think you're awesome too. He says, what an awesome show, Mia and Paul. You rock as always, but Mia absolutely more. And then he
did
goes,
you bribe you?
Brad, you're awesome.
About me, Mia?
He's got a question for you,
yep.
And he said, "Can you ask Matthew, with all this complication, is technology available to help him, and will it cost him a fortune to avoid penalties and fines?
No, it won't cost you a fortune to avoid penalties and fines. You mean if you took a platform like our platform on board, it should just be a user fee, and it's just, you know, $2, $3 per employee per week. It's sort of what do you want to pay to have that assurance?
Yeah.
Well, I think let's go to a break quickly. Mm. And when we come back from the break, why don't we just talk about what kind of platforms are out there and how that does help the employee, and from what I can understand, it seems to be quite a minimal cost involved to avoid, you know, like Mick was saying, I don't even know if I'm doing it right.
Listening to Alive 90.5, this is a power-up show with Mia and Paul. It's 6:47, and our guest Matthew Horton is still on the phone with us. And Matthew, I think Mia's got another question that's come through on the text line as well.
No, not yet, but I did have a question for you, and that was just to talk, Matthew, a little bit about the platforms that are available out there that would take some of Mick's stress and pressure away from him.
Yeah, sure, man. I mean, really, we're talking about platforms that actually help you with recruitment. They classify the employees the correct way. Platforms that help you with time capture, making sure that you actually have people working the right spread of hours under an award, or the right number of hours that they need to work, knowing when you're triggering overtime. These platforms are readily available. There's a whole bunch, not just mine. And, you know, we're all here. We're all friends. We're all trying to solve for a problem. I think the most important thing, though, is you need a platform that does those two things I just mentioned and payroll. You need an end-to-end platform. That's the solution. Once you have one system talking to another system, you do get the opportunity for people either, as we said before, to make errors mistakenly or to intentionally go in and change things. For mine, it's actually about having an auditable end-to-end platform that's actually able to ensure that when you press that button and raise your ABA file and send it off to the bank and the payslips go out, you're very relaxed that everything's been done compliantly.
One of the biggest questions we had last week was something I touched on earlier, and that was whether you knew it or not. A number of people, in fact, overwhelmingly with the text that we got on the show last week, was, oops, I forgot 1st of July. And it sounds like a whole lot of people didn't put through award increases.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing to do. What I should say when I'm talking about platforms is that these platforms are available for small employees now. The advent of what we call software as a service, the advent of having things in the cloud, means it no longer is just the sort of the ballywick of the SAPs, NetSuites, and large systems. You can actually get systems very cheaply, very, very, very practically, that work for you, and they're actually designed for you. You don't need to have 15 accountants from Deloitte to come and explain it to you. It's very easy to use. And the question, Mia, that you asked, I've actually now forgotten because I've been rabbiting on so much.
It was just with regards to, I suppose, the question in a long-winded way was, is the system smart enough, I suppose, I don't know what the right statement is, to remind me to put through the industry award increase?
No. The system, we do have artificial intelligence in our system, but it does need a human to intervene in that. But at FoundYou, we do that intervention. So we'll actually put in any award changes. They don't always only happen on the 1st of July, Mayor. It's the ones that happen at other times during the year that tend to catch people.
That's a good point.
So we'll put them through. We watch that. And then, you know, if you want to be doubly sure and you want to get legal sign-off, you phone up a chap like Sean you had on last week.
Yep.
And he's able to check through that, or HR advisors or whatever the like might be. So, Mayor, no, what you should be doing... Yes, the system can remind you, but you should be looking for a system that just does it for you.
Yeah, that's right. And that would include things like for younger people, even just you know, when there are birthdays as well, for some awards that trigger very much by age, aren't they?
Yeah, obviously in the apprentice world and in some other awards, what you have is you have anniversaries, whether they are a birthday or a year of service.
Yeah.
And they'll move you up a particular classification or an upper pay grade. That's a good point, Paul, because that's a spot where a lot of mistakes are made. You just can't keep on top of it. That's
Matthew, right, I've got some questions coming through on the text line on 0480028100. Could we go through them real quickly?
Absolutely.
I am currently working with MYOB. Can your system integrate into my accounting system?
Absolutely. We do a line-by-line geocode integration. You don't need to worry about my payroll, though, because I do that for you. okay? But what we do is our teams sit down and actually integrate fully with MyOps. So you tell us where you want the various employee cost numbers to go, and we'll put that through seamlessly.
Richard said, you mentioned that there are a number of platforms out there. What should I be looking for before choosing a final platform?
I think in this day and age of what we call SaaS, as I said before, software as a service, just be careful that you're not paying for something that you're not going to get. I mean, and I was at a meeting just before with a customer, and, you know, we often say no to customers because they're asking for things we don't have. Just be careful that what you're actually looking at is actually what you want and what you need in your business. You know, there are solutions out there, say like MyOb or say like Xero, that work perfectly well for small workplaces if all you want to do is payroll. But just make sure you get the demonstration of the platform. You have the ability to actually make it somewhat bespoke for your business, because that's what the SaaS world's about.
Mm-hmm. Ludo, a long-time listener of ours, so you say it's not very expensive, and as always, Ludo, what's the catch, she asks us.
Oh, they're all...
no catch, Ludo.
Awesome.
I had a great response to that in the context this week, and I can't remember what it was now. I've got to think about what it was now, but yeah, what's the catch?
And the last question I have is from Paul, not you, Paul.
Not
I wish you were doing something behind the scenes I don't know about.
Either,
all of this sounds good, but I have timesheet issues with my staff that takes up a lot of time reconciling. Would a platform like this save me that time?
100%. Our platform's all about time and attendance. You know, some people actually say that we've actually removed payroll from our platform because it's all about the time capture. And as I said before, going off into all the maths and the algorithms after that, we have got apps on the App Store and on Google Play that you can buy that actually can clock people in and clock them out. We can geolocate them to particular places at the end of the shifts. You get a really easy report, or on your own app, on your phone, comes through the timesheets you have to approve. We encourage our customers to approve them every day because I don't have a very good memory. I know Paul Cripps doesn't have a very good memory.
Correct.
That's just his age catching up on him.
That's right. I don't know what time I finished work yesterday. You guys are keeping me up way too late.
Yeah, but Paul's buying you a beer, so you're good to go. Listen, the last question, Matthew, before you get back to that beer that Paul so kindly promised to buy you. And this is a question from my side of things. Is in terms of implementing a payroll system, whether it's yours or somebody else's, what kind of time do people find that they start saving in terms of what was happening before they put a payroll system in place?
Yeah, sure. Now, Mia, just one little correction there. We're actually like a HRIS and payroll system, which actually makes it work. So it's not just a payroll system. Look, I really think if you have a platform like that that's seamless and has time and attendance, and I looked at this number literally today because the customer asked me to send it through, we've got case studies that basically show it coming through at saving an average of about 70% of the time you normally would put into doing that. 70% of your time that you would put into that. And that's when I roll forward time capture into that as well. So pure payroll, it's almost up to 90%. It's literally, as Paul's seen it operating, it's press three buttons and payroll's done.
Yep. It's
good
quick, it's efficient.
And you'll be, well, not you, but Paul will be pleased to know that you're probably the first person who's left me speechless in a long time, because I used to do payroll in a previous life. And I recall Thursdays.
It's not really you, is it, Mia?
No. Every Thursday fortnight, it was basically my day was written off because it was always just
I pity your husband that night after doing that all day.
Nightmare. I think, Mia, your point is very well made, and it's actually about the value proposition, because none of your listeners actually signed up to work at a payroll company.
Correct.
I didn't sign up to work at a payroll company, but believe me when I tell you that.
They're not in their businesses they're in today because they wanted to do payroll. They wanted to engage in the activities that they're actually performing in their business. Let's capture some time back and actually go and talk to some more customers, improve our product, improve our service offering, and not waste that 6 hours, 8 hours, 4 hours, even if it's 2 hours, doing payroll. And importantly, and for sort of, you know, being a little less business orientated, I bet you 50% of your listeners actually do payroll at home at night during family time.
I wouldn't take that bet because I'd be losing the farm pretty quickly.
Yeah. So let's actually give that time back to the kids or the parents or the relatives or your health and fitness.
Absolutely.
Matthew, thank you so much. I see there's still questions coming through on the text line, but we're going to leave it there. Yeah, out of time. Please stop sending them through because, once again, I'm not the expert on this.
Yes,
Matthew, thank you so much. Go and have your beer. Go get your beer. And please, when you see Paul again, get him to buy you a beer on me.
I certainly will do. Matthew,
thank you very much for your time, guys. Thanks for listening.
And thank you very much, Matthew.
So any of your listeners can reach out any time they want directly because they can find me.
Great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Matthew. Bye now.
Thank you very much, Matthew.
And, well, that's us for the show. Roger's here breathing over our shoulders.
Roger's ready to go.
And we don't have time to say, well, hello, quickly, let's turn on his microphone.
I was going to say, good evening, Raj, how are you?
Good evening, everyone.
Very good, very good.
Beautiful. We don't have a lot of time because we need to hand over to you.
Yeah.
And once again, my mother's going to be on the horn going, you missed Raj again. Yeah, and then I'm going to have to explain that, you know, I'm a terrible person.
But everything will be better next week because I'm not here next week. So,
yes. And FYI, I fired Paul, so he's not back here next week. So we're good to go. Life is going to get better from here.
Is it life imprisonment or what? life in exile.
I'm actually back in 2 weeks' time.
He's got 10 days behind bars. Oh. We're not supposed to say that. Now you've let it out of the bag.
Cheers.
All right, well, that's the Power Up show for the day. And Paul, you're not with us next week, but we'll have a special sales edition with David McCauley.
That's right.
You may remember him from a previous show. And
indeed,
we actually have a very special guest on the show next week with David. That's the CEO and founder of the nootropic drink Shine, which is taking the world, let alone the Australian market, by storm. And he has kindly said that he would be on the call as our guest speaker for the day. So with that, we are saying goodbye. You have an awesome week, and we'll speak to you next week.